future sons and daughters. I am John Miller, and this is Locked On Mizzou, your destination for Missouri Tigers football and basketball talk 5 days a week. And hey, if this is your first time here, welcome. I'm so glad you're here in the audience. I really appreciate it. Again, I am John Miller. I'm the Mizzou mafioso that is frankly wildly unobjective. Yes, the Mizzou J school guy that has been a lifelong fan that likes to take, well, as objective of a look at football as I can, but I'll be honest, I'm so passionate about these Tigers, I can't truly be objective. There's just no way that's going to happen. But you know what? If you like this show, if you like my kind of talk, hey, tell a friend and hit me with a review, possibly a 5-star review even, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find this beautiful show. And you know what? If you want to find some other programs like this, go to LockedOnPodcast.com to find Locked On Chiefs, Locked On Royals, Locked On the Cardinals, all that good stuff. I think you'll find plenty of things to enjoy there. But having said all that, coming up, I'm going to debut a new segment that I like to call, well, based on Mizzou becoming the new Oregon of college football with all their different uniform combinations, I feel like that deserves its own segment. And I'm going to call that segment Project Run Play. So look forward to that. And also, I'm going to give you a quick breakdown of what's is or is not wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs. But first, you know what? Let's put a button on Blake Stark and I's talk about the Missouri Tigers win over Ole Miss this past homecoming weekend, shall we? Well, first of all, generally going forward, I'm just going to let you all know that in this segment of the show, this is generally where I'm going to update you on any breaking news, especially coming out of the previous Mizzou football game that myself and often Blake did not get to. But in this case, of course, the good news is no news, because really, unlike the previous week where Cale Garrett was hurt in the game, and I frankly didn't realize it until after the whole thing was over, we don't have any bad news like that. Everything seems to be good. Yes, Kelly Bryant came out of the game unscathed, no further injury. Seemed like, as far as I could tell, no serious injuries. We're all good. Of course, we are going to miss Cale Garrett, though, aren't we? You know, I guess you could say, some people might argue, oh, Missouri's defense struggled a bit without Cale Garrett. And you know what? That's a fair, at least an initial take, I would say. But I'm not sure I'm willing to go there yet, because I have to at least give a little bit of credit to Ole Miss and Rich Rodriguez, Matt Luke, the whole gang. Because, you know, certainly, say what you will about Rich Rodriguez, he's had his foibles over the year, right? I'm not going to get into those here in this space, but the guy can design an offense. And how many times did they run that little fake toss quarterback keeper play that was very, very effective? I'd say maybe 7 or 8 times, without exaggeration. But the bottom line is, you know, I questioned their usage of not bringing Plumlee, the running quarterback, in the red zone at one point. But overall, their mix of quarterbacks was pretty interesting and a tough thing to defend and prepare for, especially on 1 week's notice. I thought overall Missouri did rather well. And, you know, as college football, as NFL football, as just the game in general continues to evolve, especially on the offensive side of the ball, man, unless you're at the very top of the heap, unless you've got the 5-star players, you know, gosh, it's hard to win in college football week to week. You know, there are teams that can scheme you. Everybody spreads you out. Everybody can throw it now a little bit. You know, it's just easier to do these run-pass option plays at this point, you know, that type of offense, than it is to defend it at this point. You know, it just seems like offense is always a little bit ahead of defense. And especially in a world where, my gosh, imagine if you'd have taken a time machine and taken these spread offenses, taken the air raid back to the 1960s. That's all you'd have had to do to basically win a national championship every year. But, you know, I kind of got off on a little bit of a tangent there. What I really want to get back to is, of course, our Missouri Tigers. And you know what? Speaking of things I'm surprised I didn't mention at the time, Jordan Elliott, my goodness, that guy has, if he has not at least exceeded the, if he hasn't exceeded the hype, he's certainly lived up to it. He's really had an excellent season so far. And if you're the type of person who pays attention to your, you know, your pro football focus grades, that type of thing, he had just an, his grades had to have been off the charts, right? He was unbelievable in that game against Ole Miss. He really was. And just really impressed with his continued improvement. And you know what? Speaking of continued improvement, if you didn't love Dawson Downing getting that long touchdown there, and especially the fact that that touchdown for Dawson Downing, who's a walk-on, by the way, originally, I'm honestly, as I'm speaking here, I'm not sure if he has a scholarship or not. I feel like he did earn a scholarship, but regardless, the point is, football, people think about, oh yeah, the big man on campus, that type of deal. It's a real glamorous thing. But you know what? Football is really only glamorous on Saturdays, right? Because football practice, my goodness, there's few things less glamorous than football practice. You're totally anonymous, and it's just a bunch of sprints and up-downs and jingle jangles and Oklahoma drills and just banging into hot, strong, sweaty, angry men who are cursing at you. And then speaking of people who are cursing at you and yelling at you, well, you've got a bunch of old men with who are trying to live through their young, for their failed young existence through you. So it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of that. And it's frankly just a lot of drudgery and heat and sweat. So you got to feel great for a guy like Dawson Downing, who pushed through all of that, who basically got beat around as a walk-on, as all walk-ons do, for his whole beginning of his career, and has frankly now earned reps as a real running back in real moments. Again, non-garbage time. He was in an important moment in the game, and you know what? He absolutely paid off and paid dividends with the faith that Barry Odom and the running backs coach and the whole team showed in him, Derek Dooley, the whole thing. They were smart to put Dawson Downing in, and it was just really satisfying just as a Mizzou fan and just as a fan of college football in general. How can you not love seeing Dawson Downing get in the end zone there? That is just, that's absolutely a beautiful thing. And you know what? I guess this is a theme here. It's just growth and continual maturity, that type of thing. There was one point when I noticed DeMarcus Acy was on the sidelines for a little bit, and I was a little bit worried. I thought, oh gosh, DeMarcus doesn't come out very often. I wonder if he's hurt or something. But, you know, he wasn't favoring anything. In fact, he had his helmet on the whole time and was actually signaling to the defense quite prominently and gesticulating and telling everybody where to line up. And I was going, okay, I guess they're just rotating in some of their other guys. I didn't even notice, to be honest. I'd have to go back and look at the snap counts to see who got in there. But obviously they had some guys that they wanted to rotate in and trust there for a little bit. And, you know, Acy showed a tremendous amount of senior leadership there. That was one thing that's fun to see from my perspective, 60 rows up. You know, you get to watch the corners a little more. They're often just off the screen, for instance, the corners and the safeties. You know, just to see DeMarcus totally engaged there. I mean, he wasn't pouting by any means. And obviously he knows this defense. And I think it just shows that these seniors are really, really engaged defensively. And, you know, it also shows, you know, I hate to say it, we are going to miss Kale just a tiny bit, aren't we? But you know what? Having said that, before we get to Project Run Play and my quick breakdown of the Kansas City Chiefs and their lot in life, I want to tell you about a potential opportunity you have to sponsor this here show. Yes, especially if you're a local business listening to my voice right now. I think your company has a great opportunity here because you know what? If you're interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should absolutely be sponsoring this podcast. You see, Locked On Mizzou and all of the Locked On Podcast Network, our demos are about 98% men, to be perfectly honest with you. And about 80% of those men are between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you want that demo, and that truly is the sweet spot of most advertising from what I've heard, well, by golly, hit me up. You know what? We've got really reasonable advertising rates, especially when you compare it with radio, terrestrial, traditional radio. Hey, holler at me if you've got more questions, if you're interested in this opportunity. Email me at lockedonmizzou@gmail.com. All right, and without further ado, it is time for the debut of Project Run Play.
You admitted that you were the weakest of your team, and that gave us no choice. You're out.
So let's not bury the lead. Let's start with the helmets, right? A new gold helmet for Mizzou. Yes, the second gold helmet that Mizzou has ever worn, to my knowledge, at least in recent years. But this time with the Block M. And you know what? I really like this helmet. I give it an A- overall, I think. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I just don't think it's my favorite helmet. So I can't go like wild with the A++. But I'll say, I like any time that there's striping on the helmet for the most part. And speaking of striping, oh yes. Man, we're getting deep into the Project Run Play here, aren't we? Oh, Heidi's got to be proud of me. But seriously, the striping on Mizzou's uniforms, the old striping that we've sort of had since the 2012 changeover, has started to age a little bit poorly to me. And I guess that's with the benefit of hindsight. But honestly, when Mizzou started wearing, those Liberty Bowl helmets last year with the Tiger Sailor, right? Those white helmets, they have that striping on top. You know what I'm talking about if you're a complete uniform nerd like I am. See, I really liked that branding, and that's something that sort of old-school three-stripe. I mean, really, imagine any point of Mizzou football until the last recent SEC era, and you can imagine some version of gold, black, of gold and white stripes on a black helmet, essentially. Now, obviously, if you're going to have white helmets, if you're going to have gold helmets, there's going to be somewhat of a variation of that striping. And again, like Mizzou had on its white pants the first game of the year against Wyoming, there was the variation of that striping on the pants, just the simple sort of classic football sort of striping on the pants. I like that sort of, that bit of traditionalism with the modern looks and the modern constant changing of the uniforms that Missouri has. I think that's a good balance, and I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't stuck more to that striping branding a little bit, because it seemed like, you know, with the screensavers and the posters that Mizzou football puts out, it seemed like that was a real emphasis. And boy, am I getting real nerdy into the branding thing here. So perhaps, should we get to the Chiefs? What do you think? Should we get to the Chiefs? Overall, I think, again, A- with the helmets. Overall, the uniforms, I'll give them a B. I think they were pretty solid. But again, I just think the gold tops and especially the striping on the black pants that we have, not aged super well in the last few years. But having said that, how about we get to those Kansas City Chiefs, shall we? And then we'll get out of here for this particular episode of Locked On Mizzou. So here's the thing about the Chiefs. It's really difficult to sugarcoat losing two games in a row at home when you're supposedly basically a lock to make the AFC title game in a lot of people's minds. If you're one of the absolute favorites and one of the all-time great offenses of all time, losing two games in a row at home, even though, you know, frankly, good opponents, I'm not taking anything away from the Texans nor the Colts, it's hard to spin that as a positive, right? But you know what? Even though I'm not going to sit here and tell you this was a fun last couple weeks for me as a Chiefs fan, overall, just looking at the big picture, honestly, I'm not that worried about it. And there's more than a couple reasons for that, but I'll give you at least a couple right off the top of my head. For one thing, it's not a big mystery why the Chiefs have struggled the last couple weeks, is it? Look at all the players that they're missing, just in terms of injuries. You're talking about Chris Jones, one of the most underrated players in the entire league, one of the best interior linemen in all of football, in my humble opinion. You're missing Sammy Watkins, you know, your $10, $15 million number two wide receiver. By the way, it's not exactly a shock when Sammy Watkins is banged up at this point. But that's another discussion. Regardless, he's an important piece, clearly. Even more important, you've got Eric Fisher, the offensive tackle. You know, again, the Chiefs have just really struggled to protect Patrick Mahomes at times, especially with Eric Fisher out of the ball game. And honestly, when you look at the Chiefs' defense so far, what have they really done to improve? The irony is we shipped Dee Ford out of here, and we couldn't have driven him to the airport quickly enough considering his boneheaded lining off offsides penalty cost the Chiefs a shot at the Super Bowl last year. But the irony is San Francisco is playing excellent defense so far to the point statistically they're off to one of the greatest starts in NFL history by some metrics. But the point I'm trying to say is one thing I said, if you're a follower of when this show was until recently called For Old Missouri, I was saying that I wanted the Chiefs to spend more money in the offseason, the money that they spent on Frank Clark, the money that they spent, the capital that they spent, whether it was draft capital, whether it was money, cap room, however you want to look at that, there's an opportunity cost to every move, right? That's my point. And I would just say I would rather the Chiefs have used their football capital, and this is what I said months ago, on offense instead of defense. And while to some people that might seem rather counterintuitive, my point is that guess what? Why are the Chiefs great right now? What is the number one reason why the Chiefs are great? Well, obviously, it's Patrick Mahomes. So what do? You want to protect that investment. You want to spend money on the offensive line. And again, counterintuitively, just because the Chiefs were bad on defense the previous year, that doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to automatically be bad defensively going forward. You know, again, in terms of allocating just football capital, the amount of capital that you have, sort of going a little nerdy economic here with you on capital, but I'm fine with using draft picks on defense. I kind of like the idea of using cheaper, younger players on defense, at least a higher amount. And it's okay to, again, draft some offensive guys too, but the Chiefs, again, is something I've said before, they chose to let go of Missouri center, former Missouri offensive lineman, former Chiefs center Mitch Morse. And he eventually got a huge contract from the Buffalo Bills. Well, Mitch had a lot of concussions, and you can certainly argue that they didn't want to take a chance on that with just his general health concerns. But I'll just say, man, I know I've said this before, and at the risk of repeating myself, he's a really good dude, and more importantly, an excellent player. And I would have just personally, just in general, forget about Mitch Morse. Again, just use more of that capital to protect Mahomes. You know, what could be more obvious than Mahomes is now in three separate games, he's had three incidents where he's tweaked his ankle. And in all three of these cases, he's been a different player after those injuries. Before the injury, he's Patrick Mahomes. He's the MVP of the league. He's the best player in the league, quite honestly. He's the guy we all expect him to be. And yet, three times now, once he's had the tweak of the ankle, he's basically become, I don't know, Jared Goff? I don't know. He's not that bad. Let's not go crazy. Sorry, Rams fans. No, I'm kidding a little bit, but he certainly isn't like bad or anything. He's just okay, essentially. When he can't when he can't move around like he wants to, when he can't plant and truly let those deep passes go, you can just see the accuracy's off just a little bit. And honestly, I think I'm not in that locker room. I'm not in the training staff. But if the training staff is telling me, and I'm Andy Reid, and they're telling me, you know what? If Patrick sits out Thursday, it's a really quick turnaround for a banged up football team to go to Denver, a Denver team that has probably played a little bit better than its 2-4 record, to be honest with you. If they're going to tell me, hey, we should start Matt Moore this week and Patrick will be 100% by the time he gets he'll essentially have a bye week then, right? If you're going to tell me, if my medical people are going to tell me that'll make a huge difference for him, I'm okay with risking the Chiefs starting 4-3. Because if you really look at it, who are the Chiefs worried about? Well, in theory, it would have been the Chargers in the AFC West, but they're off to a much worse start than the Chiefs are. Now, obviously, you'd love to get home field advantage. Don't get me wrong. The Patriots are looking excellent. But again, other than that, it was my contention that Baltimore was the next team in the tier below the Pats and the Chiefs. But now they've looked up and down too. But again, other than them, who really scares you in the AFC? There just isn't a team that I can see, especially with the Chargers struggling, with Derwin James still out, with Phillip Rivers another year older. I don't know. I'm just thinking long term, the Chiefs are going to be fine. You know, it'd be one thing if I was confused about why the Chiefs were losing, but I think it's pretty obvious why the Chiefs are losing. They're losing because they have too many injuries. Now, fortunately, it seems like most of these injuries are relatively short term in nature. So by the time November, December rolls around, we should be 100%, right? Again, let's just manage Mahomes, that ankle. If he needs to sit out one game against Denver, I'm fine with it. If that means we got to take a loss, that means we got Matt Moore needs to take some punishment, I'm okay with it for 1 week. So with all that being said, I'm going to get on out of here for this episode of Locked On Mizzou. And hey, once again, if you want to check out more of the number one local sports podcast network, go to LockedOnPodcasts.com. I'll see you all next time.